Today's News Talk Radio, TNT, with Joseph Arthur and his Technicolor Dreamcast.
Hello, former President Donald Trump arrived in Lower Manhattan Wednesday morning to be questioned by New York prosecutors as part of State Attorney General Lieta James' investigation into his resort and real estate business. The ex-commander-in-chief showed up at a parking lot garage in the building where one of James' offices located just before 9 a.m., rolling up in one of several black SUVs that escorted him to his deposition. He departed Trump Tower at 8:34 a.m. to travel to 28 Liberty Street. I know it well, Liberty Street. Ah, New York. I miss you, New York. As a helicopter trailed him and his multiple car caravan. The arrival comes after multiple news outlets reported Tuesday that the former president was slated to be grilled Wednesday. Grilled just like my cheeseburger Wednesday by state attorney general prosecutors about their probe into the Trump organization. In a social media post, the 76-year-old Floridian confirmed me. You don't think of him as a Floridian. It's weird. You think of him as New York. I think of him as New Yorker. In a social media post, the 76-year-old Floridian confirmed meeting while moaning the probe is a witch hunt and claiming James is a racist. James says her office is evidence that Trump's company used fraudulent or misleading valuations of its buildings, golf clubs, and other assets to obtain loans and tax breaks. Just like Jimmy Hoffa, they're going to get him on the taxes. That's the big thing. Well, I tell you what, if they don't arrest him or say they found something damning, then they only empower him with this. If they arrest him, then chaos ensues, which works for the globalists. Great division throughout America, leaning ever closer to civil war. They are indeed terrified that he will win the election. And judging from the state of our country, Joe Biden and the Democrats, who have ushered in this low point across many spectrums, I'd say, their fears and these extreme actions are well-founded. However, with most things they do, this too seems likely to backfire, or is in the very least rife with that possibility. For a start, they are hoisting Trump back to the front page of the news cycle, which threatens to drone on up until the election. Ratings will spike and the news conglomerates will continue to drive this story until we are blue in the face, but perhaps red in the heart. I added that last line about red in the heart with the blue in the... Silly. The results of these raids, no matter where they land, will drone on as an unprecedented moment in our culture rages on. Trump will become a more sympathetic character in the eyes of most, I believe, who will see this mostly as government overreach leading America ever closer to banana republic-like tendencies. They are, in fact, doing everything they accuse Trump of being, dictator-like tendencies on fleek. And in spite of propaganda, most will see it that way. Another projection on display. Civil war also increasingly will work its way into the conversation, seeding that idea as a distinct possibility more and more. I already saw a news report just before this about talking about violent rhetoric. It was a CNN headline, the violent rhetoric increasing. So again, yeah, they're implanting these ideas and they're making the right seem more unhinged against the backdrop of the left fumbling the country. But that's what the globalists want. They want more chaos, more division, more confusion, more breakdown of the American way, less national identity or pride in the nation, more corruption, having a field day on the battlefield of political theater in America, less of a focus on the COVID disaster and injuries and deaths resulting from the toxic shot. Funny how that works. It's not hard to swim through the multiple layers of their motivations here. They are many and all important for their agenda, not difficult to see how this move was irresistible for them. But with every handshake with the devil comes the massive potential for catastrophic backfires. Unless an arrest happens that really cobbles Trump, it seems this is the best campaign promotion money could buy for Trump 2024. All right, send me an email, josepharthur@tntradio.live. And once I figure out how to get into that email account, we'll read some of these emails online. provided you stay at least somewhat polite. If you missed your favorite TNT radio show or interview, simply listen back when you want, wherever you want. Just visit episodes on the TNT radio website. We are also on all the major podcast platforms, including Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, Podbean, Heart, and TuneIn. Now there is no reason to miss out on anything on TNT Radio.
Opinions fact checked.
If we don't speak up now, nothing's going to change.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Alex Meyer, board member of the Children's Health Defense, president of the California chapter. Alex Meyer, she's a real freedom fighter. I wonder what she thinks about what's going on in a crazy world. Alex Meyer. Hello, Alex. How are you? And welcome back.
Hello, Joseph. It's great to be back on your amazing show.
Thanks for coming back on it. It's more amazing for your presence at it. I will tell you that by a mile. So I thank you for coming on. Now, let's start with something.
I don't deserve that.
You do. You deserve that and more. But we all struggle with self-esteem, don't we? I know I do. It's an uphill battle every single day, and I'm not getting any younger. When is this crippling self-doubt going to go away? That's the question. But here's the real important question. What groceries did you get, and are they locked away in your fridge?
I did just get back from the grocery store, and I got a bunch of healthy things, but I'm also not buying as many fruits and vegetables now because my garden is going. I am a prepper.
Nice.
And I'm starting to grow a whole bunch of stuff that will feed me and my kids should disaster strike.
Very, very smart. I did do a Walmart run. I mean, I know that's bad to say you went to Walmart. I'm in Arizona now, so you end up, I never used to go to Walmart when I lived in New York forever. You just don't do that kind of thing in New York. You go to bodegas and you overpay for everything. But I did go to do a Walmart and got a bunch of gallons of water, but that's, and some canned food, but prepping for me is low on the list of priorities, and it should be upper registers. I mean, have you gotten loads of water and stuff? Water seems to be the big one, I think.
Yeah, water is the big one. And I've done two things regarding water. One is that I have a pool now that just got filled with water. So with my filters, my Berkey filters, disaster ever really did hit, I could filter my pool water and survive on that for a while. My kids and I could do that. The other thing I did is I got a water machine that makes a minimum of 8 gallons per water per day from the humidity. Wow. It's kind of like if you have an air conditioner and you see that water like dripping out the side of your house. That's the condensation, and that because that's, you know, that's drinking water. I've done those two things. Yeah, because I'm just, Joseph, I'm connecting the dots, and I don't like, I'm not liking what I see. You know, we definitely have food shortages. I was just in Whole Foods, and there's still like a ton of bare shelves that, you know, didn't used to be bare before COVID lockdowns hit. You know, they're starving us of water in California. Some people say they're dumping our water actually into the ocean or diverting it to other cities outside of California, which is just crazy pants. So I'm seeing that happen. And then, you know, we've got gas prices going up. Are they trying to discourage people from driving? Is there a point at which they might take gas away from us? So I've done a lot of stuff here to prepare, because if you really connect all those dots, we do run out of food. We do run out of water. They might turn off our electricity at some point for an extended period of time. Where are people going to go? They're going to try to steal things from their neighbors. Or, FEMA camps might start to look really good because they're going to have shelter, they're going to have food, and they're going to have water. But you're going to probably have to get a shot or some other unwanted medical treatment to access all that. So I plan to not be in that situation and not have my kids in that situation.
Well, it sounds like you're doing a good job of that. The pool is an excellent idea. The water maker is great. I wonder if I should get one of those for Arizona. There's precious little humidity in the air here, but it does exist. So I'll have to look into that. What's one of those set you back?
It was 2000, but I thought it was a good hedge for the future.
Yeah, true. I can.
The other thing you might have to get, though, is like either a portable battery that's
generator
strong enough to run that. And I've one called a Jackery that I like a lot. But then I also went so far as to install solar with a battery backup, just in case we have an extended electric outage, so that I can run things like that. And then if they, you know, if there's no transportation fuel, I've got two electric bikes that I can charge on my solar battery. So I've thought of a lot of different aspects of this, and people can tease me for being a prepper, but so what? You know, better safe than sorry, well, as they say.
Listen, the word prepper is another one of those terms on the level of anti-vax. It's one of these words that's meant to be a slight, but you know, makes more and more sense all the time. It's like less and less of a slight. It's like the prepper has a negative connotation, like you're some kind of crazy lunatic. But it's like in this day and age, it's like that's just due diligence. That's really what it is. It's due diligence. It's seeing some writing on some disturbing walls, and it's getting prepared. I had Mel Kay come on the program, and she was talking about impending martial law due to an exaggerated climate crisis or a fake climate crisis, and the potential for water shortages, which they seem to be seeding those ideas as well, even at the same time that there are floods going around and whatnot. But then there's reports like drinking rainwater is unsafe. And so they always have a backup plan. You can see their agenda coming a mile away. It's not like one shake to the fact that they are motivated in a certain direction. It's not difficult to see.
It's weird that I think collecting rainwater is technically illegal, which is bizarre.
That's so weird.
Why would that be illegal?
Like,
and then
why?
I heard from one of my, I don't know. I heard from one of my builders here that, I know that it's illegal to drill wells. And so my friends who are drilling wells, they drill them so with tree cover so that there can't be any aerial identification of their well.
Crazy.
But I also heard from one of my builders that they've outlawed the main machine used to drill wells in California.
That's
and they
nuts.
Really don't want us having water. And so you keep hearing these little bits and pieces from different people, and it's not hard to connect the dots.
No, it's not. I mean, you really have to have your head buried in the sand to not connect the dots. And it's, and the wild thing too is like with what's going on with Trump right now and the sort of raid on Mar-a-Lago, weirdly named Mar-a-Lago, is that if they don't arrest him or do something kind of extreme, it's going to backfire epically for them in the oncoming election. I mean, it gives him such a huge platform of, you know, America's lost its freedom. It's become a banana republic in all ways, economically and against its former leaders. This is behavior that we're not used to in America. So I think an arrest or some kind of discovery is pending. It must be, unless they just wanted to self-destruct, which could also be a possibility. But that's frightening in a couple ways, because if they do arrest him, then there's going to be real chaos and real threats of civil war, which they themselves will plant. I saw a CNN headline today saying rhetoric about violence is increasing. So I'm a little concerned, because I feel like they're backing themselves into a corner where the only way they can maintain power is through catastrophe. I really just see it that way. I don't see them maintaining power in any of the typical ways. Even trying to steal the next election, I think, will be real difficult for them because of all the eyes on that behavior. So not impossible, but I think we're in for something more extreme than that in the coming months.
I agree. And on the Trump stuff, if they do take him out, whether they arrest him or they find out some other way to prevent him from running, they're doing themselves a huge disservice unless they want DeSantis to have a great chance of winning the presidential election. I'm assuming he's going to run, and he would have so many more votes than Trump. So
I don't know about that.
No?
And I'm a fan. I mean, I like Ron, and I think prefer him over Trump myself, but I think Trump's more pop. I think Trump, he's got a huge base, and I'll tell you what, once he starts the campaign trail again and the rallies and this, that, and the other, I mean, he's a seasoned professional now. He would come off more presidential now. I mean, except for this kind of stuff, they're going to keep cobbling him. So I agree, though. I think Ron would walk into the White House, too, if if America remained somewhat civilized. And that's why I'm concerned, because I think they know that too. And I don't think they're going to let that happen.
I agree. And he's, I'm not saying it's a cult, but Trump does have a cult like following that. They really mess with that, because that's a solid group of people. And what was interesting too is what you said about where we're going. And we just had Children's Health Defense California chapter just had two events in a row with Naomi Wolf over the weekend. And she's just amazing, just so eloquent. She really brings humanity into the discussion. Her latest book called The Bodies of Others is so eloquent. Right. And she doesn't do it in summary. She does more of it in scene, if you know the difference, if you're a writer. So she really gets very visceral with, very specific facts and things that were happening to her as this stuff rolled out. It was really interesting. And so she kind of jumps off of, or springboards off of, her book, The End of America. And she talks about these 10 steps to a dictatorship. And the first one is to incite fear in the population. So check. But, and I can't name all the 10 steps, but basically we've gone through all of them and we're at the 10th step, which is their when they want to institute martial law. And today I was just listening to her on a podcast, and she said she wouldn't be surprised if there were a civil war. And I have to agree with her. I've been martial law from the beginning. Yeah. I mean, they've been trying to divide the population, Joseph, since we got locked down. First, it was like BLM. And then it was like, who has a shot? Who doesn't have a shot? Let's divide those people. And then they leaked that memo from the Supreme Court. I mean, why would they undo Roe v. Wade right now, except to make people fight?
Right.
I mean, they're taking the issues that are the most contentious and like throwing them all at us at the same time.
And it's on purpose, by design, cobbling police forces. You have New York cops quitting at record number 71% recently before their pension, which is just an unheard of number. But it makes sense, because there's no motivation to do that job. The criminals just get out the next day or that night. So you have crime exploding on the street. All it takes is a kind of false environmental emergency. Everyone goes into the stores. Toilet paper, water becomes the toilet paper of COVID 2021, meaning it disappears from the shelves. You have people going crazy. You have criminal behavior, like a time bomb goes off, and also non-criminal people become criminals because they're terrified for their lives. So they start breaking into people's houses to get water, whatever it is. And then all of a sudden, martial law, because they've gutted the police force. They've also gutted the military from soldiers that would buck the system. All the soldiers that would refuse the vaccine, they're out now. So anyone who would like sort of protect the Constitution and isn't a blurry line, they've pushed this woke agenda into the military, which means like, you know, you get a certain sort of person that is willing to like follow what the government tells them. And that's who they've seeded into the military. That's who's left in the police department. And it's not, you know, it's not rocket science to see where this can go. Let me go to a quick break. We'll be right back with Alex Meyer after these words on TNT.
TNT Radio's Trish Wood.
I'm telling you, there is something going on Twitter. They're going into election season. The Democrats can't win on any possible thing they're doing. They're just losing. And what happens with the Democrats in the states, because all of the big tech companies are affiliated and siding with them, going into an election season, they are asking for help with censorship from the big tech companies. And we finally have proof of that. We always thought it was true. It was alluded to a fair bit by Jen Psaki. And now we find from a lawsuit that was just resolved in one way or another that a treasure trove of emails obtained by America First Legal tells a far more alarming story than what we ever even thought was going on. The 286-page stack of correspondence reveals a cozy and daily working relationship between people in a position of control between Twitter, Facebook, Google, and the alphabet power dynamic in Washington, the CDC, the NIH, and also the World Health Organization.
Trish Wood on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
The strength of our country hasn't just been won on the battlefield. It's won every day in our communities when we come together in our toughest times. For over 100 years, the American Legion has been strengthening communities across our nation by providing life-saving help and support to our veterans and neighbors during times like we're facing today. We are the American Legion, veterans strengthening America. To learn how you can help, visit legion.org.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Lowe, long jump gold medalist and world record holder. When I was 15, I was waiting to catch my train. In a split second, my life changed. As the train arrived, the crowd surged forward. I was too close to the platform edge, lost my balance, and fell into the path of the oncoming train. I was in a coma for 2 weeks, and it took 2 years to walk again. So please, stand back, look up, and stay rail safe.
We were told that the last presidential election was the most secure election in history. Nope, not by a long shot.
Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
And we're back with Alex Meyer. I just bought Naomi Wolf's book, The Body of Others. I interviewed her, so I should have already had it, but there you go. Now I have it, and I got the audiobook because I prefer just to lay there and have it read to me. But I'm nice. I'm excited to listen to it. You know?
That sounds great. You have to tell me if she actually narrates her own book or not. I've heard from authors
doesn't.
That it's exhausting.
She doesn't.
Yeah.
She doesn't.
Okay.
Nope. And it's weird because she has a great voice, and why wouldn't she? But yeah, she did.
Yeah.
It's some, let's see, let me look. It's some guy named Chris Gobetz narrates it. So, so it's crazy. So 10 steps to a dictatorship, and we're already there. And that's what I mean. It's like, that's what it feels like all this is a setup to. It's just, it's flexing in this way that's just weird and politically short-sighted. Like, to do this to Trump, along with inflation, along with doubling down on this environmental campaign that is cobbling the middle class, gutting the middle class, really wrecking our economy. You know, people feeling this in their pockets. It's just like, compared to the last election, which was all about mean tweets and sort of the beginnings of social justice issues, which have just gone crazy since then. This one is about people providing for their family and like wanting a life that's decent. I mean, once that's the main issue, and then also just there's chaos and crime all around, it's like those issues become so much bigger than the personality of Trump or pronouns and stuff like that. It's just like they can't hang their hat on that. And so that's what's concerning, because either they're massively idiotic and self-destructive, or they know that it doesn't matter. And that, it feels to me like the latter.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, they've orchestrated this whole thing from top to bottom. We were just having a conversation over this weekend about the authorization of these shots, in fact, and they've done some brilliant things. We just got a document that's really interesting. It shows that the COVID vaccines are actually approved within the military, that it's a military project. And so what that means is that all this emergency use authorization law, all the fake approvals of these shots, that's all just window dressing. That might not mean anything, which makes me understand why they've taken that emergency law and they've bastardized it to make what I call a super emergency. And they've been so smart about it, Joseph. They're just planning every single part of this so well. You got to hand it to them for strategy. It's brilliant.
Yeah. No,
but
it's
what
brilliant.
They've done
it really
in terms of liability, it's really hard because they've divided up the liability this way. So we've got vaccine developers who knew about the fraud and the trials, but they didn't inject anyone. And then we've got the injectors who said, well, we didn't develop it, so we didn't know about the fraud. And then separately from all those, we've got the mandators who didn't develop it and they didn't inject it. They just mandated
smart.
It and they got the government off the hook for the mandates. So they've got this whole triad going on where, you know, you can't see me because we're on the radio, but if you cross your arms in front of you and point in opposite directions, we call that the two-arm shield. And basically everybody can do the two-arm shield. It wasn't me. Go look at the developers. It wasn't me. Go look at the vaccinators. It wasn't me. Go look at the mandators.
And the media can say it wasn't us. We weren't told better. We didn't know better. You know? Yeah. It's like everybody can, the musicians and artists that coerce their bases to get injections can say we didn't know any better as well. You know, and interestingly, too, about the, you know, them just, you know, running a banana republic or a dictatorship. Think of the projection that always happens in all these things, too, that they've accused Trump and the January 6th people of trying to take over the country by illegal means. You know what I mean? And it's like that's it's projection. It really is. It's like classic projection, all this stuff.
It is. And those doors were opened and nobody, apparently no one was opposed when they went in. There were photographers in there. People were taking their time, taking photos. I mean, give me a break.
They were taking selfies. I know. Yeah. It's like,
Yeah.
So that's interesting, your point about the systems implemented perfectly to just keep passing the buck until no one really can accept responsibility. I just saw Steve Kirsch on Fox News talking about, you know, straight up talk that this is the most deadly injection or most deadly vaccine, 1,000 times more deadly than the polio vaccine, which is unsafe for people too, apparently. You know, so and then you see the Australian kid like trying to smash the guy's car, who's the doctor who gave a deadly shot to one of his family members. You hear the call of that father calling the pharmacist and screaming at the pharmacist about his boy having myocarditis. I mean, and then endless stories of injuries and sudden adult deaths creeping out. It's like the writing on is on the wall with this whole thing, which is just like another reason why they need to, it's all kind of misdirection for the real implement of control, which is going to be an environmental catastrophe in martial law.
I think you're absolutely right. And they're scaring everyone into it. But I think that the narrative on the COVID shots is probably close to running out because everybody knows they have negative efficacy. And now they just approved this horrible thing in the FDA. It's called the future framework. And the future framework is based on how the flu shot is developed every year. And I heard from someone a long time ago who was actually in the CIA that the way they choose the strains for the flu vaccine every year, Joseph, is the Air Force meets in Texas in October every year. And anybody who's sick there, they take a nasal swab and then that becomes the flu shot. Those are the flu shot strains.
That's science.
Yeah, and they never test. They never test the new flu shots for efficacy or safety or anything because their grandfather they're just changing the formulations. So this future framework, it's a little different. They're not taking samples from the Air Force. They're just making up new mRNA sequences, and they're going to put them in COVID shots. And now the new COVID shot's going to have two or three strains. One's going to be for Omicron, of course, and then they want to do an mRNA for the flu shot too, and it's all going to be combined. And they want to mandate that this fall. And I think August. And then when the COVID narrative wears out, which is, I think it's very painfully close to wearing out, then they're going to come at us with potentially mandatory monkeypox vaccines. But they're going to wait until all these students, Joseph, are already in school after the college students have already paid their tuition. They're already there. And like, if you want to stay on campus now that you've moved here again for your year
spent
of college.
$50,000.
Yeah. Or more, 70. I mean, it's insane. Yeah.
And all right, let me go to headlines. We'll be right back with Alex Meyer after the headlines on TNT.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines.
Newsweek is reporting that FBI Director Christopher Wray gave his go-ahead to conduct the raid on Mar-a-Lago. Former President Trump pleaded the fifth today in a deposition with New York Attorney General Letitia James's lawyers, which he calls a continuation of the greatest witch hunt in U.S. history. Spain has imposed harsh limits on air conditioning in public buildings to save energy amid the country's second heat wave of the summer.
God, you're amazing. You're a much better listener than my wife. You're always there for me. I think I may be in love.
Where is she?
It's not what it seems. I was talking to...
Who's the tramp I heard you talking to?
That was my Alexa, sweetie.
Well, she sounds like a tramp.
Fall in love with news and talk all over again with your smart device. Just tell it to play.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And we're back with Alex Meyer from the Children's Health Defense. What's going on with the Children's Health Defense and all this, and Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and all the cool kids over there that are helping to save the world?
We're the most socially popular yet hated group out there because our work is around vaccine safety and product safety, but we get called anti-vaxxers, which is not accurate. We want safe products on the market. But we're filing so many cases, and oh my gosh, we are getting so much traction, Joseph. The wins are starting to really add up.
Yes.
One recent small win, we didn't win the whole case yet, but we have, I think, 14 cases against Merck, who is the maker of the Gardasil vaccine. And a judge just ordered all the Gardasil cases to be pushed into one case. And so that was actually something we were pushing for, so that we could get some better economies in terms of our legal expenses and other things. And so that was a really good sign that the judge also thinks that our claims are meritorious, and they're going to go through trial. And what Merck did to cover up the side effects of Gardasil, it is just egregious. Through a FOIA request, we found out that they had three arms of the trial. They had the arm of the trial where they gave people the Gardasil vaccine, and these were teenage girls typically. They had a second arm of the trial where they used an aluminum shot, and the aluminum shot alone is enough to cause most of the side effects that the Gardasil shot causes. Then they had a third arm, which was actually a saline placebo. And what happened was, if you compare the Gardasil shot to the saline placebo, 2.4% of girls will develop an autoimmune disease within 6 or 7 months of getting that shot. But they didn't want to put that in the package insert or in their materials, so they hid that.
Of course not.
They combined the saline group with the aluminum shot group to make it look like the Gardasil vaccine was not as injurious compared to getting that aluminum shot. And
that's
through
so
the FOIA
insane.
Documents, we found that out. And so, I mean, this is intentional fraud.
Compared to this aluminum shot, it's not that bad. It's like, yeah, but how about we just don't inject anything into us and just go ahead and take care of ourselves?
About
that? Can we just go with that, please?
Right. And people have to understand how dangerous injecting aluminum is. It's so different than ingesting aluminum.
It sounds pretty dangerous to me just off the top. Like, it doesn't really sound too safe. I wouldn't do it voluntarily.
Well, and scientists do it all the time. You know, we study asthma and allergies in lab rats and lab mice, but where do you find those creatures? Do you see like men or women in white coats going and looking in bushes for a wheezing asthmatic mouse or rat? No. We create them in the lab. And you know how we do it? We have them breathe in, or we feed them any substance that we want them to be allergic to, and then we give them a tetanus vaccine or just a plain aluminum shot, and they will develop asthma and allergies right then and there. And then we can study asthmatic and allergic mice.
You know, it reminds me of I had Dr. Brian Artis on the show last night, and he was talking about the monkeypox vaccine and how they're not even claiming effectiveness in them, and they're waiting to see the rollout to then determine how effective they are. They're actually saying that out loud, he was saying, and it's like they're seeding this idea that humanity is now the test subjects of everything, and it's okay. This used to be like such a thing we would never, this a line we would never traverse, you know? It was always like, it needs at least 10, 15 years of long-term studies, and then we'll slowly start rolling it out to a test group, and then we'll wait another few years and see how they do. You know, that's been the way it's been forever, and all of a sudden now it's like, yeah, we're going to roll out this monkeypox thing and see if it's effective and see how people do with it. You know, it's like, it's nuts.
It is. It's so nuts. I want to tell your listeners about another way that we create lab animals to study. And I found out for my daughter,
Cloning? No, I'm just going ahead. I don't know.
I'm not going to talk about Dolly the sheep. No, but my daughter is in college and she's pre-med. She's in she had a neurology class last semester, and they were studying a model of multiple sclerosis in lab animals, and they have these mice with MS. And I said, oh wow. And then she sends me a video of this poor little mouse named Petunia, who's barely able to crawl around because she has MS. And I said, well, how did they give MS to these mice? Did they come like that, or do you guys give them MS? And she goes, oh no, the seniors do it. I'm like, oh okay, so the sophomores don't do it, but the seniors do. And I said, well, how do the seniors create MS in the mice? And she said, well, first we inject them with something called MOG, which is called myelin oligodendrite glycoprotein. And it's a protein that is mimics the myelin sheath. And then they inject them with a pertussis shot to seal the deal. And then they all get MS. I mean, do people see how crazy this is? We are literally trading infectious illness for chronic illness and serious chronic illness at that. So, I mean, if you know that and you know, I mean, monkeypox is coming supposedly, but, you know, given what I know, why would I risk getting an autoimmune disease or allergies or asthma for temporary protection, possible protection from monkeypox? I don't know.
Which is temporary and not deadly. I mean, it's painful, temporary and not deadly. That's it. So it's like, you know,
exactly.
It makes no sense. So that mix of shots, just for people that don't know sort of medical stuff like this guy over here, is that something they're injecting people with, those two substances you mentioned?
Well, it's interesting. So if you inject somebody with a protein that mimics a protein in the human body, and if it's in that same vaccine or if the next vaccine has aluminum usually, then you can start making antibodies to self, which is autoimmune disease. So any protein you're injected with that looks like one of the body proteins, you can start reacting to it, and then you can have a lovely autoimmune disease.
Yeah, well, you know, I remember back in the day, and like anytime I would have some friends that were like in their 20s or something, right? And they, none of them could eat anything. They all had autoimmune issues, all of them. And people in my generation just did not at all. Like, we could just do anything. I was born in 1971. They gave us 3 shots and they kicked us out the door and that was it. Go get on with your life, they said.
Yeah.
But all these other poor souls that were born in the 80s, you know, they got the whole array of injections and they keep increasing them, and all of them are just like, I can't even eat a peanut. I can't eat an almond. I can't eat a piece of lettuce. I can't do anything. Like, I can't breathe. You know, it's like, what's going on? And I never knew. And then I read a Robert F. Kennedy Jr. article about that very thing and then it dawned on me. It wasn't about autoimmune issues, but he mentioned autoimmune issues in an array of other things, like, you know, children getting Down syndrome and stuff like that, or not Down syndrome, but what is the thing that they get from the injections?
Autism.
He mentioned autoimmune, and here was when they started giving all these crazy injections. It was in the, and I, it just like a light bulb went off. It was like, oh, that's why. Cause they are all injected with crazy stuff. It made no sense to me before that.
No. And if you look at like the top allergens, like let's say, you know, it's eggs and dairy and wheat. If you look at the ingredients in vaccines, you'll see eggs and dairy. You don't see wheat, but you see eggs and dairy, and you see other things like polysorbate 80 is in vaccines. It helps cancer treatments cross the blood-brain barrier. So what's that doing in a vaccine? I can't tell you, but polysorbate 80 cross-reacts with peanuts. So you start making antibodies with polysorbate 80, and then you have a peanut allergy.
Right.
It's so insane. Okay, so let me tell you this about monkeypox, taking it back to what's going on right now. So in the Pfizer documents, I think there were 9 or 11 pages of alphabetized in very small print side effects from the COVID shots. And one of the side effects, Joseph, is called autoimmune. Are you hearing vaccine-induced? Autoimmune blistering disease. Autoimmune blistering disease. Okay. That's one of the side effects that they knew. Pfizer knows is a side effect of the COVID shots. And then you go look in our vaccine adverse events reporting system, otherwise known as VAERS. And guess what we find? If you say the vaccine is COVID-19 and you look for autoimmune blistering disease, we have 5 reports. Actually, no, we have 8 reports of it. 8 reports.
It's crazy.
I mean, come on. So what is monkeypox? Is it a vaccine side effect? Maybe. Is some of it being misdiagnosed as monkeypox? Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. We don't have enough data yet. But isn't that interesting that a autoimmune blistering disease is a side effect of the COVID vaccines and monkeypox is a blistering disease?
It does. 1 + 1 does equal 2 in this regard. It really does. I mean, and it goes in line with what happened in HIV and AZT and how that promoted disease. And they found that out in no uncertain terms, that it was the AZT that was creating all kinds of devastating effects. So it's the we were talking about it yesterday, the Hegelian dialectic. You know, where I don't know if it relates. I could be wrong. But it basically that the supposed solution to the problem is causing a greater problem. I think that seems very clear in terms of this COVID supposed vaccine and COVID. You know, COVID was one thing, deadly to some. Yes. You know, if you were elderly and had a lot of comorbidities, it was really bad for you to get it. Similarly, though, to the flu, that's always been deadly as well. The flu was no joke before all this either. The flu was always really dangerous, too, for right. many people in society. So that wasn't exactly entirely new, you know. And yes, I'm not a COVID denier. I do think COVID's something different. And, you know, people didn't really lose their sense of smell and taste before, but it was certainly over exaggerated. And the deaths and the numbers were trumped up in all kinds of ways, from you know, subtle to nefarious, you know. And then these injections have proven to just be devastating across the board. I mean, it's just like, who are we kidding? Like, it doesn't even bode well to just talk around it. It's like devastating effects.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely devastating. We have a new publication that Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who's our chairman and chief legal counsel, wrote, and it's called Letter to Liberals. It's 43 pages. It has 11 pages of references, actually 303 references to be exact. And he goes into all these points, like why, for example, is the U.S. Only 4.25% of the world population, yet has 16% of the global COVID deaths? And what's going on? Right. We have fatality rates in the U.S. 63% above average. We have, the Department of Defense data showing that the rates of myocarditis and miscarriages and cancer are through the roof. We have VAERS data saying the same thing. We've got the insurance databases now with insurance companies reporting 40% more claims in the working age group of 18 to, I think, 54. I mean, it's absolutely insane. And everybody looks the other way.
Right.
And this
right.
is like the third rail. We're not allowed to talk about it.
Well, we'll talk about it. We can talk about it here on TNT, and we'll do that right after these words from TNT.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
Oh, where is the hurricane season? Oh, where can it be? Now look, TNT listeners, the rest of this has to be better. And when you recoil from the horror of climate change, just think, you went through listening to me sing. The fact is, the hurricane season in the Atlantic is only 20% of normal right now. We are anticipating it to come to life big time later this month and on into September. As a matter of fact, there are some correlations to years where the East Coast of the United States gets hit worse. Speaking of the eastern United States, it's going to cool down quite a bit. Western Europe is boiling away, but they're going to cool down in week two. And Central Asia, holy smokes, major cold shock coming in next week. This is WeatherBell.com meteorologist Joe Bastardi for TNT. Asking you to enjoy the weather. It is the only weather you've got.
Emergency, police, fire, ambulance.
Yeah, g'day, mate. Need an electrician.
Do you need police, fire, or ambulance?
No, I just need an electrician. I've got a couple of crappy PowerPoints I need to get changed
Look,
over.
Look, I'm sorry. I can only connect you to the police, fire, or ambulance.
I need to talk to an electrician.
This is emergencies only.
This is an emergency. I'm moving into the house and I need to get an electrician to change these PowerPoints.
000's sole job is to connect you to your nearest emergency service. So please, stay relevant and save 000 for urgent assistance only.
You'll never abolish the Department of Homeland Security until you abolish America's world empire.
Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Alex Myers, ready. save for the end of the world. She's got a pool and a way to drink the water. And she's no sucker. She did not take no mRNA vaccine. It's not really a vaccine. It's a weird technological medicine. Oh, hello. I'm getting messages left and right. It's hard to focus, y'all.
Are people writing in about the show?
No, I'm getting, there's like stuff about the next guest. You juggle lots of balls in this vocation, Alex Meyer. It's not as easy as I make it look. I'll tell you that. I'm over here singing, dancing, and conversing with the amazing Alex Meyer. So
we got to get you on camera so we can see you dance.
Yeah. Well, I think that is next. I think that they're going to evolve this into that kind of format. Let's hope. Cause we could blow it up big on Rumble and whatnot. Now you were talking about cases that you guys were having success with. I'm going to tell you right here, breaking news. My case just got filed today against the gnarly LA Times. I'm suing the LA Times for defamation of character. Yes. Yes, indeed.
Wow.
So yeah, they did like a 4-page hit piece on me a year ago, and it was in the Sunday Art Times. Four pages.
That's a big threat.
Yeah. 4 pages. So, and there's some characters that have been helping me out with it. Steve Kirsch is amongst them. And so, he's amazing. And so it's been one of those things where you like send the letter of like, hey, LA Times, guess what? We're going to sue you, you know, because you tried to destroy me a little bit because I was speaking truth to power and it threatened you. And so you decided to try to bash me over the head. We're suing you. And then the first they say, okay, you know what? Go F off. That's what they say. And then you file a case. And then that's when they go, uh-oh, they're serious. So we just gave them the, uh-oh, they're serious.
And so
we got to go before a judge. But it's going to happen out here in Arizona. See, I live in Arizona now, not the left-leaning New York. I live in Arizona, and this is where the case is going to go down, baby. Woo!
Yeah, you got the reddish state, maybe purple, exactly. But more red. Well, that's good.
Exactly.
That's fantastic.
I was born today, but I wasn't born yesterday. LA Times, you're going down, Charlie Brown.
That's right. That's got to feel so good, Joseph. Congratulations.
It feels so good. I got to tell you, it really does because, it just does. It really feels, good. It really does. You can hear it in my voice. Woo!
Yeah, and now, at the very least, they've got to spend a lot of money on lawyers on your case. So you've already won right there.
Happens is it goes before a judge and the judge decides whether or not they were trying to harm me with what they wrote and unfairly. And I think both of those things are very apparent in the, 4-page Sunday Times art section that wasn't celebrating my music. Let's put it that way. It was definitely sending a message to other left-leaning musician types that like, here's what happens when one of y'all steps out of line. That's definitely what it was. So I don't know. We'll see what happens, but I guess it depends on the judge, but it's exciting.
Yeah.
It is exciting.
I'm excited for you. Send me a copy of the case so I can read it.
Okay, I'll do that. And so
that'd be great.
So finishing up our interview, what are some of what would you like to talk about? Would you want to keep talking about other cases you guys are dealing with, or do you have like a whole sort of left field subject matter you want to go into? We can do.
I'd love to talk about the left field subject matter, but let me talk instead about 4 cases that the Children's Health Defense California chapter is running in California because
let's do it. We
have some great wins. We have a case against Los Angeles Unified School District, and they were trying to illegally mandate the COVID vaccines when the public health department had not already mandated them for children. So that was illegal because everybody needs to know this. Listen up, everybody. Your principal doesn't have the authority to mandate vaccines. Your school doesn't have the authority to mandate vaccines. The district doesn't, and the superintendent does not. In California, at least, only the Department of Public Health does. And if the legislature were to pass a law, that would also have an impact as well. So LAUSD was outside of their jurisdiction and they made this unlawful mandate. Well, we just wrote them one letter and they immediately backed off of their school mandate, but then they kept the kids out of sports and extracurricular activities if they didn't have shots, which was ridiculous. So we just won on that. And so everybody at LAUSD can go to school without mandatory COVID shots. And they put off that mandate until at least July 2023. So that's fantastic. And our next step in that case is discovery. And discovery means that you can depose your opponents and you can get in their file cabinets. So we had a deposition set up for last week with some LAUSD officials. And guess what they said, Joseph?
What did they say?
They couldn't come because they probably assumed our lawyers weren't vaccinated. They were worried about getting COVID from healthy people. So they didn't show up with that lame excuse.
Oh my God.
Is that insane? Yeah.
And then we have the
And then we have the Piedmont School District, which was even worse because they were trying to make their own mandate. This is in the East Bay outside of San Francisco. They were trying to make their mandate go all the way down to kindergartners age 5. And so they were trying to force vaccines on children as young as 5. And the second illegal thing they were doing, they were trying to send these children into independent study, which in California, by law, has to be voluntary. It cannot be involuntary, that there can be no involuntary placements into independent study. And imagine how this would have worked. A 5-year-old who didn't want or parents didn't want a shot or couldn't get a shot was going to be put in independent study. Last time I checked, most 5-year-olds can't read. So how is a 5-year-old supposed to learn from independent study packets that are written how to read? Just doesn't work. Then our next case is against a college, Santa Clara University in California, for their illegal booster mandate, because all the shots available are under emergency use authorization. Comirnaty, up until recently, was not available at all. And it was weird because a month ago, this is a little bit of a side note, a month ago, Pfizer admitted they were never going to put Comirnaty on the market, officially leaving only EUA shots, which cannot be mandated because they're emergency use. But now we heard that Pfizer has actually shipped some Comirnaty vials to 5 states, but we found out that in one of the states, those vials exist. It's Alaska, and they're only available to the military, not civilians. So that's really weird. But anyway, so
Can I ask you something, Alex, real quick? Do you ever get to like personally talk to any of these people implementing these orders or rules and just be like, really? Still? Like, just, I would just imagine, it's just so hard to fathom that at this point, knowing what we know, seeing what we see, that they would still be pushing this forward like this on this kind of level. Like, it's just like, and so my question is, do you ever get to see any of these people, or is this all just papers back and forth? Or do you ever get to like confront someone face to face and go, really, dude? Like, really?
It's mostly papers back and forth or emails back and forth.
Right.
And we sent a great letter to colleges. It's posted on the California website, which is ca.childrenshealthdefense.org. So anybody with students in college, go look at that letter. It's being sent out to all the officials at many indeed. Colleges. But we will have a chance to confront some Santa Clara University officials next week, actually, in person. So that's going to be really a big deal, as you know. But Santa Clara was really bad with their students. So not only did they illegally mandate emergency use shots, but they were only giving religious exemptions to faculty and not students. This is a religious Jesuit university.
And they're targeting the kids.
And they're targeting the kids because they get money. They get CARES Act funds at the college level. It's called HERF funds. That stands for Higher Education Emergency Relief Funds. And they have another set of funds that they do in elementary and secondary schools. And so they're just doing this for the money.
These lunatics, these satanic lunatics, Alex, they're satanic lunatics. If they want to sue me for defamation, they're going to lose because they really are satanic lunatics. So I can prove it in the court of
money,
law.
Money creates monsters.
Allegedly, they're satanic lunatics. How about that?
Yeah, allegedly.
We're protected. I got to protect TNT.
Yes, exactly. So Santa Clara has backed off significantly. We haven't gotten a court date yet, unfortunately, but they've backed off in so many significant ways. They were going to eject these students from school if they didn't get boosters with no tuition refund. They've stopped doing that. I've even heard that there's students who never even sought a medical exemption who just keep going to class and nothing's happened. But there are students who've lost significant things. They even made up a rule for a graduate student who's almost done with his robotics degree that his credits won't transfer. They just made up a rule on the spot because he didn't get a shot. His credits won't transfer. He can't continue his degree.
That's these people nuts. Are
yeah.
That makes no sense at all. Well, there's the 1 minute music. Alex Meyer, tell people how they can help all your pursuits. And thank you so much for your work in the freedom movement. You are a bright and shining star and an inspiration. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you, as are you. It's just a pleasure to be on your show. You're a great interviewer, and you can reach me and Children's Health Defense if you're in California at ca.childrenshealthdefense.org. And you can reach the national, actually international organization, which is childrenshealthdefense.org. And our chairman is Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is a hero.
All right. He is indeed. All right, everybody. That's Alex Meyer. Keep listening, everybody. We'll be right back with more on TNT.